Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
That's season again, isn't it? Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step. I gotta remind you, I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, one of the oldest traditions in Christianity. And we take a look at life, at the very fabric of our being on this podcast, through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. But we polish it up for today, and we call that polished look Armadoxy. So kick back with us right now as we take the next step. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, with, of course, Ken engineering today's show. I'm so glad he's with us today. Epostle, that's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. I know. You could tell I'm excited. I know. Ken's right across from me. And despite the smoke in this room, which, by the way, Susie is not here because of the smoke. That's like, I know, she's not, no, she's not outside picketing, but she stayed away. Okay, Ken, we thought when you came back, some of those habits would have been gone, but anyway, so glad to have you with us today, all of you listening, and of course, engineering today's show is Ken, one of the original cast from The Next Step from the early days. He moved away from us, I think it was last year, and he's back for the holidays, spending a few weeks down here, and has volunteered to come in and engineer these shows, and can't thank you enough. And I guess I'm not the only one who's appreciative of this. Want to do a shout out to Aaron up in Allegheny, and to Donna in Palm Beach. I guess that's in Florida. I didn't know whether to say down there, up there, but in Florida. I'm assuming Palm Beach. Let me just leave it with Palm Beach. Okay, Donna. Two of your fans, Ken, got nice emails from them that I shared with you. So anyway, it's great to have the gang back over here. And we've got Anush with us, too. I want to thank you all for chiming in. You're enjoying those audio blogs. She's agreed to do another one today. She's going to be on with the Seeds of the Pomegranate series, as we're calling it, as it's evolving. And she's got another one to share with you. They did a great homeless outreach, you know, part of In His Shoes. Once a month, we're out there on the streets of L.A. She comments about it a lot of times, and she's going to be sharing some of those comments with you today. Coming up in a few minutes. And also coming up, I'm going to do my annual Christmas wish list. Are you ready for that? Yeah, Christmas wish list. I knew it. Thank you, Ken. Okay, we're going to do our Christmas wish list. And if you've been with us in the past, you probably have an inkling of what I'm talking about. If you haven't, if you don't know what I'm talking about, well, just hang on. It is like no other Christmas wish list, and I hope it'll become a Christmas wish list for you. That's the only clue that I'll give you, okay? But that's coming up in a few minutes, too. We've got a great show for you today. I want to kick it off by talking about the situation in Syria. And of course, when we get into these serious situations, it's always important to me to say that, you know, as a church, as Christ's body, where would Christ be? Where would Christ be? And of course, it's in those situations, in the good times. Yes, we are there when we're talking about the wish list, when we're talking about the fun and the fantasies, but also in those difficult places. Now, this coming Sunday, it is Children's Memorial Day, and this is something that we've been doing for the last 15 years I've been involved in. When a young girl named Katya Hamparyan passed away tragically because of an accident, a 13-year-old girl, and her parents offered to share her memory in this very, very unique way, share her memory in the sense that we would remember her in a children's memorial. And through the years, we've been able to, this is a very sad reality, but through the years, we've been able to ask other people to share their children with us too, in the midst of tragedy, to be able to share so that other people can find comfort too. This is a wild idea, but it is also the wildness of Christianity. It's the idea that love is more powerful than all the evil, including death. I mean, isn't that the entire purpose of resurrection? That, yeah, there is an awful death over there, and death does separate us, but it can never separate us from the love that we have in our hearts, and of course, the love of God. And we see this, that, yeah, in life there are tragedies, there are difficulties. And when it comes to the case of children, this is one of those immense, immense tragedies that is unnatural too. Unnatural in the sense that, hey, you know, the natural order of things, their kids grow up and at some point they lose their parents and it is their responsibility to bury their parents. That's the natural order of life, right? Obviously, the parents are older. And the unnatural part is that, you know, when parents have to witness the death of a child, it's unnatural, it's painful, it's tragedy. It's tragedy. And really, the only thing you can do is seek comfort. You can't erase memories, you can't get rid of them, but you can comfort, and that's a beautiful word, coming together to be a fort, come fort, to be strength. You know, sometimes people throw out these cliches, unwittingly trying to comfort them. They say, time will heal. What is that supposed to mean? Time will heal. You're not going to forget this. How could you forget it? It's part and parcel of your life. What do you mean it's going to heal? It's a tough one, but we know that things change with time. By time going by, you find other opportunities to celebrate the life. You find means by which you can extend that life. And I think that's really what this is all about when we get together. And every year when we get together, I have an opportunity to reflect about these children, but I also reflect about the children of war, the children of genocide. These are people that are only statistics. And when we think about Syria, this is how the statistics arrive to us. You know, we hear about 100 people being lost over there, 200 people being lost there. Last week, I reflected about the situation in the Gaza. You know, it's very easy. You've got 10 Israelis dying over here. You've got 300 Palestinians. And these are just numbers that are thrown out until you realize that those numbers represent children. I mean, everybody is somebody's child. They're not just numbers. They're not numbers. You can't say there's 300 people dead over there. There are 300 children, and there are people who are going to suffer the pain of this. And it's just amazing. Last night, I'm watching the news about Syria and coming out, and how do we deal with it? Well, we change the channel. We basically hide from the reality of what's going on, because it's easier. Nobody wants to deal with these kind of tragedies. I mean, children dying, nobody wants to deal with that kind of stuff. And so it's, yeah, we do it once a year. It's not a popular event. I mean, it shouldn't be. There's nothing to celebrate about it. But there is an opportunity as Christians to come out. There's an opportunity as people to reach out and extend ourselves. And that, to me, is a very important one. It's an important opportunity that makes us human, to be able to reach out to one another in the time of our grief. And certainly when you hear about what's going on in Syria, I mean, lately, last couple days, the violence has been escalating. They've been stuffing chemical weapons into bombs. And of course, this triggers responses from the superpower. The United States has to answer. And of course, Turkey is right there on the border. And you've got things escalating. And it's just amazing because you sit there and you wonder, you know, in a world with all of our advances, with all of the technological advances, with all of the smart that we have in the world, why are we resolving situations through violence? Well, you try to figure out some other way, and you sit there and you see these bombs being filled up with chemical weapons. And then you hear the reports that they're going to be using this on people. Well, what is your response? How do you respond to that? I remember a couple of years ago, Andy Rooney, who was a famous journalist over here, passed away last year at a very ripe old age, some in his 90s. Andy Rooney served in World War II, and he was asked about the war. And he was, you know, if you read his writings and hear about his commentaries and everything, he was very anti-war until it got to a point where he saw what was going on and Hitler moving forward and the tunes of people that were being slaughtered. And there was no other way except to take him down. And, you know, violence, I guess, is one of those things that you really wish we could get over. But in this world, you have to kind of understand that it is part and parcel of the world. I remember a few years ago, when I was out on the banks of the river Arax. And this is a river that flows right between the border of Armenia and Turkey. And I was there with my son, Vaderjan, and another priest, Father Marakia, yeah. We were out there. He was from Etchmiadzin. He was assigned to us to take us around. So we went to Hor Virab and then out to the banks of the river Arax. And I'm standing on the Armenia side. And, you know, you feel the frustration. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, I want to believe that anti-war, anti-violence, but there is something about you that is very primal. It's very primitive. It's part of your animal instincts. I don't know. You look over there and you realize that here is a group of people who have killed your people and taken away your land. And my first reaction, you know, I picked up a rock. I didn't know what to do. I'm confessing to you. Yeah. Picked up a rock and I threw it across. I threw it across at Turkey. Just, it's a frustration. And the priest that I was with, you know what he said to me? He says, put down the rock. Now I thought, yeah, okay, he was like some kind of he was the real man of God, right? He was talking about peace. You know what he said to me? He says, put down the rock. He says, they have enough of our soil. They have enough of our land. Don't give them one more rock. Ah, now that's the practical approach to this, right? Well, I'm saying all this because we need to come up with systems. We need to come up with better systems of dealing with controversy in our lives, dealing with problems, dealing with violence, and dealing with these people that pop up all of a sudden and decide that whether it's a Talat Pasha, an Adolf Hitler, or whoever it may be, a Pol Pot, how do you deal with these people? Last night on Sunsash, I don't know if you follow it. If you don't, please make sure you get on our Sunsash mailing list. It's a freebie. Every day you get a free Sunsash. It's inspiration to hold your day together. What was it? It was a Dalai Lama quote. It said, world belongs to humanity, not to leader. That leader or that king or prince or religious leader. World belongs to humanity. That's true. And we're going to be talking about a Christian king. We're going to be talking about a king, a ruler, who made some kind of decisions in his life that affected people, I want to believe, in a very positive way. That's coming up in a couple minutes, okay? So starting off with what's going on in Syria. Our prayers are there. Just giving you a few ideas to kick around. You know, when we do the children's memorial, I always think about those children that are out there in war. It's very easy when you watch on TV, pull it up on the internet. You can always open a new tab on your browser and you don't really need to watch it. You can always kind of move your eyes away. But when it's a reality in your life, right? When you've lost that child, it is something that you can't walk away with and you never walk away with. Now, can we accept that in the case of Syria, that those children, or in the Gaza, that those children are our children? God has entrusted us with this world, has given us this entire world. And I want to believe that we can. We can push ourselves to start talking in terms of this world belonging to us. That everyone on this planet, somehow we are tied. We are tied because we are children of this planet. And everyone out there is our child. Everyone out there we shouldn't be moving our look away from. But we should be addressing. We should find means of resolving our situation. Yeah, it sounds pie in the sky. I wish we didn't need to. I'm not trying to pretend that, you know, guns don't exist or that chemical weapons aren't as bad as they are. They are. They're tragic. How can we find the means? Obviously, negotiations fall apart. There has to be better ways. There has to be better formulas. And I think that one of the steps that we're taking here with the next step with In His Shoes, with the mission, is being able to feel other people's pain. It's first and foremost, before you love somebody else, is to respect that person for who he or she is. And I think that that's really one of the positive things that we have succeeded in doing through the In His Shoes mission. This song of the day that I'm going to pick out today, it's a very special one. I found it, somebody shared it with me on the internet. It's a YouTube song. It's called Ammen Hayrsurp, though it is a misnomer. It's actually Hayrsurp. It gets its name Ammen Hayrsurp because in the Divine Liturgy there is a prayer that the priest offers and the choir should respond Ammen. The people respond Ammen. And the next hymn that is sung is called Hayrsurp. But because there is no, because there is no understanding, let's be really honest, because there's no understanding of the liturgy except for reciting these things, the name of this song has become Ammen Hayrsurp. I have found a beautiful version and I want to share it with you. When it comes to talking about our kids, this one reminded me of my kids. It reminded me especially because very unusual. You're going to hear a soprano saxophone being used in this version. Enjoy. a chant from the Armenian Divine Liturgy played for us by a chamber orchestra, National Chamber Orchestra of Armenia. And it is a YouTube video. I'll share it with you. It is under the title Garabekian and Mondocelli, Armenian Chant. And it is commonly referred to as Ammen Hayr Surp, though, as I said earlier, it's really a misnomer. It's a hymn that is sung in praise of the Holy Trinity. And definitely check out the show notes today and check out this link to the YouTube video. I particularly care for it because of the use of the soprano saxophone. Brought memories of my son playing clarinet, and something that I enjoy whenever he gets it out and plays for us. What's he call it? The licorice stick. That's right. Anyway, this is the song of the day. A thank you to Silva for sending it in, and I hope you all enjoyed it. Now, we know the myths and legends about the kings appearing around Jesus' birth, right? You know them, the three kings, although Holy Scripture tells us that there were some wise men from the east. There are traditions that link these with some kind of royalty, and we refer to them many times as the three kings, the three wise men, or in modern vernacular, the wise guys. These are the... No, don't go there.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Ken, I don't know what we're going to do with you today. I'm so glad you're here. Okay, get back on track. Okay. All right, back on track. We're talking about the three wise men, also referred to as the three kings who came from the east. And of course, Scripture refers to the three wise men. It refers to wise men coming from the east, not even a number. So it just refers to them in the plural. So it could be two of them. It could be three. It could be 20, it could be 23. That's not the point. We're not literalists. What we're concerned with is that the attention that was drawn to Jesus' birth went beyond the local, the locale, okay? There were people that were coming in from all over because something great was happening, something beyond the local circumstances. It wasn't just a babe in the manger, but it was something that was taking place that was going to change the entire world. Now, there are also traditions that name these kings, and I have to excuse me, I forgot all three of them. I know Bagdasar and Caspar, Gaspar Baldassar, these are two of them that I remember. And of course, these are not so important that we remember the names as much as it's important to remember that these wise men were referred to in the early centuries, and they were ascribed names. Well, what does that tell you? It tells you how important theologically this development was, that theologically that the early church needed to identify these people and wanted them to play into the larger picture that Christ was beyond just the circumstances in Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And certainly, when we hear of stories like this, these apocryphal stories, we also are reminded that the entire tradition comes to us through many, many sources. It's not like we have the Bible that you're reading right now. I don't care which Bible is in your house right now. You're not reading an original writing. You're reading a translation. You're reading at least 5 centuries of oral tradition, people talking about Jesus, and then combined with some of the early writings put together and leathered up in a Bible that you have. But it comes to us, the entire Christian story comes to us via many, many channels, including the most important one of which is his body through the church. And I say this because, you know, we always hear this. You always hear this. Somebody says, this is kind of like a cutesy little thing that people throw out, you know. Well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I believe in Jesus. I'm a spiritual person, but I don't go in for the institution. I don't like the church. It doesn't do anything. Well, like it or not, the way you got Jesus, the way you have Jesus today in the 21st century is vis-a-vis the church. Basically, somebody brought it to you here. The writings that you have, including Holy Scripture, was given to us in a tradition. Yeah, this is not just something I made up. It didn't fall out of heaven, right? Jesus, on the day of his crucifixion, there was no Bible. On the day of his resurrection, there was no Bible. But there was a church, wasn't there? It was his body. It was the people that got together. In fact, 50 years after Jesus' resurrection, there was no Bible, but there was a church. St. Paul was writing to these churches. In fact, 100 years after Jesus' resurrection, there still was no Bible. In fact, it was in 419, that one of the minor councils, that the Bible as we know it, and with all the books that we have today, was put together in its codified form. But it arrived, the story of Jesus has arrived to us from many, many, many different sources. And so when we hear these traditions, it's important to give them their note as well, to give them a nod, so to speak, and say that, yeah, that is part of the tradition as well. Yeah, is it important that you remember the three names? No, it has no salvific effect on it. You know, God's not going to say, okay, you remembered this and you didn't remember that. You know, you're going to heaven, you're not. No, it's not about that. But these are important traditions. Now, the reason I bring all of this up, because we talk about the three kings. And there was another very, very famous king. He was actually the first king who accepted Christianity. Now, that's interesting because that's the way he's referred to as the first king, the first Christian king. His name was Opgad. And he was actually a contemporary of Jesus. Now, it's interesting because we referred to the wise men as wise men, as people from the East, philosophers. But that tradition of them being kings really is kind of knocked out if you take the Opgar story. And there's good reason to take the Opgar story. Now, here's the important thing about Opgar. Opgar was the king. He was a contemporary of Jesus. And today I'm going to put a link on our show notes because Holy Etchmiadzin put together a very nice video on the feast day of Opgar, which took place last Monday. And they put a video on YouTube. It is in Armenian. If you can, try to get a translation. If you want, write to me. I'll be happy to, when I get a little bit of time next couple of weeks, I want to translate it because it was very eloquently and articulately explained. But basically, the sources, you can find them on the internet. Opgar was a king during the time of Jesus, and he got sick. And he had sent a letter to Jesus. He had sent a letter to Jesus and said, please, can you come? I need a healing. To which the tradition says that Jesus wrote him back. Interesting, right? This is one document that is probably the most treasured because it is a writing of Jesus that came to the king in Armenia, Opgad. And in this writing, Jesus is basically saying, I can't make it out there. I can't come there, but I promise that I will send one of my disciples to come and offer the healing. Because apparently in Opgar's message to him in his letter, he had acknowledged Jesus' Christ's divinity. Very interesting exchange of letters. And wouldn't it be great if you could just like get your hands on this stuff? Yeah, it would be great. But listen, you've got a tradition. This is what I'm saying. You know, we always go for these proofs and we want these proofs. And that's okay. That's part of faith. You know, you don't need the proofs. And it's okay if you want them. I mean, that's part of Western upbringing, right? We're looking for proofs, the whys and the hows, and how do these things all come together? But think about it in a pure sense of this beautiful story. Of an exchange between a leader who was, well, here it is. Are you ready for this? I'm going to connect it to what we talked about earlier, right? Remember the Dalai Lama quote? Humanity. World belongs to humanity. Not this leader, or that king, or that prince, or religious leader. World belongs to humanity. Dalai Lama is saying this in the 21st century. And what are we reading? In the first century, Jesus and his contemporary, King Upgar, exchanging messages with one another and saying that, hey, here is a king, a sovereign who has rights over all of this physical kingdom, the physical wealth and treasures. And what does he do? He acknowledges Jesus' divinity and says, I believe in you. I need you. I need you. The world, the universe belongs to humanity. This is intense, you know, folks. This is really intense because the connection here really is incredible. Okay, so now Jesus responds and says, I can't come down there, but I will send one of my agents, my disciples, now an apostle. Well, guess who comes to Armenia? Saint Thaddeus. Now, last Saturday, we celebrated the feast of Saint Thaddeus and Bartholomew. And I've spoken about this on our In Step with Christ and the sermon. Please check it out. It's on Apostle. There's some details about how this plays in for us as Christians today. But now, on the following Monday, Tuesday, we celebrate the feast of Saint Upgar because they are all interconnected. It was Thaddeus who came to Armenia, Thaddeus who offered Christianity, and Upgar accepted Christ, accepted the Christian message, and became the first Christian king. And there's the celebration that we have. Okay, the recognition of this king. Now, you take that story and you could ascribe all kinds of components to it. But the fact remains that there is a sovereign, there is a king with all the worldly powers who acknowledges something greater than himself. And now, let's go back even further. I mentioned the Dalai Lama because I said it earlier. Now I want to go back to what I started with, right? Can we find means of solving our situations here on this planet? When you've got these despots, you've got these dictators who are trying to annihilate people, who for their selfish glory, can you find a king that is greater than these kings, than these rulers? Who controls all that, if not the ruler of the universe? And when we start acknowledging that, then we start gaining the credibility as Christians to understand that our Christ is something greater than the events that took place in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, greater than the events of first century Palestine, but is the Creator, is something bigger, and is something that is inside each and every one of us when we communicate. Here is the tie-in with the church. You go to church, and what do you receive? If not the body and blood. And what happens? That infuses your body. So now you are connected with something greater than yourself. You are connected to something bigger than yourself. And so kings, queens, princes, these are all fine. They control things within their sphere. But there's something greater, isn't there? Upgar was able to acknowledge that. And in acknowledging that, he became the great person. He became somebody who opened the doors to the enlightenment of a group of people. And that group of people then took that light, illuminated by St. Gregory the Illuminator, and now have a responsibility to take it beyond. And this is something Armenian Orthodoxy has done very well. It's understood it. It's in its theology, in its hymns. But today, in the situation it's in, it needs to be brought back on the track. A couple days ago, I was with the Archbishop, and he gave me a book called Armenians in America. I was kind of surprised that he gave it to me because it was written by a good friend of mine, Stepan Partamian. He is an avowed atheist, and he actually claims that there is no God and there is no reason for the church. And now you say, what kind of friend is he? Because he actually accuses the church of messing up the Armenian people. And, well, if you listen to me long enough, you'll figure out what kind of friend he is, right? But here's the interesting thing, okay? He talks about the problems with the Armenian church. And here is a document that he's produced. It's a rather thick book of pictures. He's gone throughout the United States taking pictures of everywhere that he's seen the Armenian name. And guess what? 99%, okay, let's say 95% of the book is filled with pictures of Armenian churches. If not the Armenian church, a monument next to the church. A cross. Something that has religious implication, church implication, Armenian theological implication, Armenian Orthodox implication. And so what becomes very evident when you look at it is you realize that, hey, the spiritual has saved the physical. And we do everything backwards, don't we? We said we have to take care of the physical, and then we can take care of the spiritual. And Christ says exactly the opposite. When he goes up to the man who was paralyzed, what does he say to him? He says, your sins are forgiven. And everybody around him looks like, what are you talking about? This man is paralyzed. He's not looking for you to save his soul. Get him up. And Jesus understands this. And he says, I know you guys are looking for a miracle. He says, but which is easier? He says, I could save the soul. But if that's what you want, rise, pick up your pallet and walk. And so the man walks. And same thing. We look for our physical well-being when in fact all we really need to do is focus on God's kingdom and all else will follow. And the proof of that is within the model that is given to us within the Armenian nation. And you look at that over and over and over again. You see that the kings have understood their place within the structure of the universe, rather than the universe or the church being within the structure of their kingdom. And when you can understand it like that, no matter what your life situation is, you can move forward. Understanding that, though the words of Christ, set your mind on God's kingdom and everything else will follow.
He's King Midas with a curse. He's King Midas in reverse.
Well, for the last couple weeks, we've had a very special treat. Anush has been doing her blog with us. She runs a blog called Inside the Pomegranate. What do you find inside a pomegranate? But seeds. Here's the seeds for today.
Today's pomegranate seed, tidings of comfort and joy, heavy on the joy. I'm still smiling from last night's homeless outreach. I've been thinking about it since last night. I think one of the reasons that our In His Shoes homeless outreach is so successful is that we're heavy on the joy. Sure, we provide food and clothing, that's the comfort, but nothing was more evident than the joy factor last night. The joy started before last night, a few nights ago, when we realized we didn't have enough clothing to share, we put out a post on Facebook. I was really surprised at the outpouring of love that came forward from that one post. Friends I haven't spoken to for months responded, dropping bags of clothing at church for us. Sunday after church, another several bags were taken to the back of my car from parishioners who had seen the post. Text messages bounced back and forth about sock donations, a friend's trip to the store to buy jackets and sleeping bags for us. People were responding out of joy and love. And then there's the preparation. Our prep time takes about an hour as we gather everything we've collected, clothing, snacks, soup, water. There is joy in the unwrapping of the soup containers, in the packing of the cars, and then in the distribution. I was hearing it last night in the laughter as Susie and her crew distributed the right item of clothing to the right person. The joy was definitely there when we sang Silent Night or the Hippopotamus for Christmas song while handing out soup out of the back of our car, and it was there when we received the blessings and smiles of those that we helped. You have to picture it. As we pull away, they wave at us, thanking and blessing us. We thank and bless them in return. We are the ones that are granted this privilege to help them. One of the regulars on the street is a missionary from Africa named Doris Dolly Dorothy. Dressed in gleaming white with a beautiful smile, she is there on the street by choice to live a life of poverty among the least of her brothers and sisters. Susie shared with me her message. She never takes food from us, but gives of her smile and herself. She shared that Thanksgiving on the street was too much blessing, as there was an abundance of people sharing their food and blessings with the others. She shared, "People here hate me." "Why?" Susie asked. "Because I sing and pray all day, but I'm okay with that fact that they hate me, because they hated our Lord first." She was comfortable in knowing that the hatred was coming from a place of not understanding. She is there to share her inner joy with those less fortunate, giving all that she can of herself to them. Like I said, she never takes food for herself, but what she will always take is a warm hug from us, her sisters. She's definitely got the joy factor. If you are blessed with a family, you know that joy comes from having them around. When we go out to the streets, those of us who have been doing this for years now feel this same joy. We go out to visit our extended family. We hear their stories about careers that never took off, rent payments that couldn't be met, family struggles, illness and no insurance, debt. They are like our family, no different than any of us except for the fact that they lack the support systems that we have been blessed with. Think about it. If we didn't have family or our church to lean on in these difficult times, how many of us are just one paycheck from living on the street? There but for the grace of God go I. And just like our family, they appreciate being cared about. Not just, here's a cup of soup, here's a frisbee, but, hey, how have you been? How was your month? Are you feeling better? It's not about charity, it's about love and being the light and love of Christ, being the vehicle for God's love. If any of you out there are interested in starting your own homeless outreach with your friends, family, organizations, but you don't know where to start, please contact me. It's anush@pomegranateni.com, and I can share with you some of the logistics and organizing that it takes. Some of our local radio stations have been playing Christmas carols since Thanksgiving. Personally, I love it, even though it's driving my coworkers crazy. I'm sending out tidings of comfort and joy for this Christmas and well into the new year. Comfort and joy, but extra heavy on the joy. This is Anush, wishing you a pomegranate Christmas filled with abundance of God's blessings, of love, and especially joy, and ripe with possibilities.
Thank you, Anush, for sharing that. A very special ministry that takes place, reaching out to the people. Hey, I'd love to hear from our listeners. Anush has been doing these audio blogs for a few weeks now. I'd love to hear from you, see what your reaction is to this. Actually, this last one just it took me back a few years ago when I was in Africa. We were inside this small village, and there were a group of kids that came up to us, and we were with a group of people from USC that were, some of them were doing research, some had just gone for curiosity. There was a group of eight of us, and there was one African-American woman with me. We had gone from the States over there. And we were inside this village, and we were passing out some goodies to the local kids over there. And she made the comment that, look, it is black hands reaching out to white people. It is white people giving them their stuff. And she says, psychologically, that is not the message that we should be giving out to them. And that stuck with me. You know, it's been 6 years since I remember that. But now when I think about this one, about going out there on the Skid Row runs, and this is primarily, though not exclusively, primarily Armenians from the Youth Ministry Center and part of the In Issues, the outreach of In Issues, participating. Isn't it interesting? It's Armenian hands that are giving out to hands that are waiting out there, realizing that, hey, in this grand scheme of things, it's just hands. And that's the strength of it, right? that hands are reaching out to other hands. And we can label them, we can call them different colors, but in the end, it's God's hands that are reaching out to people. Anyway, a very beautiful story. Thank you, Anush, for sharing that with us. Hey, if you want to get involved with the stuff that we do, things like this that are very, very important within as an outreach of Christian community, please listen to what Susie has to say, and I'll be back in a minute. Share with you the Christmas wish list.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vodskin.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder, important message, especially around this Christmas time. You know, you give out gifts to people and you make donations here and there. It's important to remember Epostle and the work that it does and how important it is in your life. We hear from you all the time. We appreciate so much your prayers. Your prayers keep us going. It reminds us that this work is an important work, but it does need it does need funds. There's no way around it. It does take money to run this, and we appreciate everyone who participates. Make Epostle a part of your Christmas giving, a part of your seasonal giving, and make it a part of your regular life. You know, we give to so many different things. It always amazes me how quickly people are out there bragging about giving. You know, we went to Las Vegas and I dropped down this much. I went to the track and I did this and that. Okay, with all your gambling habits to put aside. I don't mean to pick on the gamblers, but you know what I'm saying. It's like this, it's important. Remember that little story about the dollar bill and the $20 bill exchanging notes and the $100 bill? And the $100 bill says, oh, I've been everywhere. I've been to Monte Carlo. I've been in the greatest casinos of Las Vegas. And the $20 bill says, oh, I've been just everywhere myself. I've been all over the world. I've been left in tips here and there on this restaurant and everything. And the $1 bill says, oh, I've been many places too. I've been in the church collection plate. And basically, that's what it comes down to. It's whatever we have in excess, we throw the way of the church. If you take it seriously, you have to make it a priority. So please, make Epostle part of your Christmas giving, your year-end giving. Remember, all donations are tax-deductible. Okay, I promised you my Christmas wish list. Are you ready? Oh, those are cute voices, aren't they? Thank you, Ken, for digging up these people, these creatures from wherever you find them. Okay, do you want a hula hoop for Christmas? What's on your wish list for Christmas? I'm going to tell you my wish list. It happens to come to us as Jesus' wish list. Did you know that? We just talked about that he wrote something to Saint Opgod. That might have been the last thing that we know that he wrote. But did you know that he wrote out a wish list? And he wishes it. He wants it. And why shouldn't we oblige him, right? I mean, hey, listen, it's his birthday, right? I mean, think about it. You come to my birthday. You bring me something that's in my taste, not in your taste. I mean, if you did, it would be in bad taste, right? Hey, you want to please me? It's my birthday, right? And so you come to my house. It's on my birthday, and you're gonna bring me a gift, right, for my birthday. You would say, well, what is Father Vodskin like? Hey, I know he likes music. Let me take him a couple nice little CDs. Now, you happen to know that I don't like okra. I hate bamya. I can't eat that stuff. But you have a particular taste for bamya, for okra. And you say, well, you know what? I want him to get a taste of it. But you know what? If he doesn't eat it, I'll eat it. So I'm going to load up and take to his house a bag of okra, a bamya. And you get to my place and I look at it. What do you want me to do with it? Huh? You think I'm going to eat it? No, I'm going to look at it and say, okay, here, sit down. You have it. Take it home with you. You know, it's not nothing that I want. So wouldn't it make sense that if it's Jesus's birthday, we kind of figure out what he wants for his birthday and give him what he wants? Well, fortunately, some bit of writing has survived, and it comes to us by the way of an evangelist named Saint Luke. In his gospel, he writes down what Jesus wants for his birthday. And we find it in Luke chapter 14, verses 12 and following. And it happens to be this coming Sunday's lectionary gospel reading within the Armenian Orthodox Church. Let me read it for you. Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or your sisters, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." That's it. Give to others. Give to people who have absolutely no way to give back to you. You know why? That's what God did. He gave us the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. We have absolutely no way to return the favor. We cannot say thank you enough for the gift of eternal life. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Send him a card? Is it offer a prayer? Wear his cross on your neck? What are you going to do? How about sacrifice something? You know, call it a mada or something? No. It's very simple. All he wants from us is for us to love and care other people. Okay. Can we do that? Yeah, that works. And it's the greatest gift. When you give a gift, give without expectation. I know you work in an environment where everybody picks a name. You work in an environment where they have the secret Santa and they sit around and they say, okay, don't spend more than $20. You got to spend this much money because this is Christmas. We don't want to embarrass anybody. Don't spend more than this much. That's all cutesy stuff. Do it, but don't ascribe the Christmas name. If you have to do it for social reasons, okay, just sit there and say, you know, like my secretary Lila once told me, she goes, you know, whenever I pick on her or say something, she just looks at me and she goes, whatever. Well, you can do that. You can do that at Secret Santa. You can go, whatever. Okay. But give to people who have no way of returning the favor. Give to people that are looking for a blessing. And this doesn't have to be material stuff. It doesn't have to be a new sweater. It doesn't have to be pants. It doesn't have to be anything material. It could be your time. Think about it for a moment. Is there anything more precious than your time? How about spending some time at a local shelter? How about spending some time at an old age home, at a convalescent home? Caring for somebody, talking to somebody. Hey, I'll give you even better than talking to somebody. How about listening to somebody? Just open up your ears. How about spending some time with your children? Spending some extra time with your children. Doing the things that you don't have a time to do. Do them. Go out and extend yourself. As Honor said a few minutes ago, go out on Skid Row. But let me tell you something, beyond Skid Row, there's a lot of Skid Rows right around us. There are people who are suffering of loneliness, people who are suffering of disease, people who are suffering from a lack of love. Share the love. That's it. That is what Jesus Christ asks for his birthday. You don't want to believe me? Luke chapter 14, verses 12 and following. Actually, it's two verses, but read it all the way to verse 24. There's a incredible story about a banquet. Anyway, I'm going to be speaking about this Sunday. I've done a video. We'll put it online tonight too. Check out today's show notes. We'll be chock full of all kinds of stuff. But please, make this Christmas a very special one. We'll be talking more about it in the upcoming weeks. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I've got to take a break right now because we are hitting almost the 1 hour mark, and that is just too long to keep Ken in suspense. He has not had a smoke for the last hour, and I know he's just like, he could just, I know, look at your knuckles right there. Jeez. Okay, we are going to call it a day for today. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it. You can join us throughout the week at epostle.net. That's easy to remember. It's apostle, like the Apostle Thaddeus, apostle with an E. E for electronic and expanding in reference to the universe. Apostolic evangelism for an expanding and electronic. That's epostle.net. Of course, join us at the mothership inissues.org, also on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Hey, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Vahir, our webman, for Anush with her pomegranate seeds, and especially for Ken, who is, well, it's just good to have you with us again, Ken. This is Father Boskett inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
I trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.